So why is nobody aware of this? Why is the entire Christian community worldwide, which consists of roughly 2 billion people, why do they support the state of Israel blindly? Let us go back into history a little bit. For many centuries, Palestine was a very peaceful region where Muslims, Jews, and Christians lived in harmony with one another. There was no hatred, there was no war. This is something unnatural that is created by higher powers in politics and in the financial world. It's only when the Rothschilds started investing into establishing this state that hatred was artificially incited between different people groups. So after centuries of living happily in peace and in harmony, suddenly there was this invasion by forces that are called Zionists or Zionism. Zionism is indeed the philosophy or the movement of people who want to establish a new Israel as the center of a one world government. In order to accomplish their goal, they however had to do one very important thing. They needed the support of the worldwide Christian community. They needed the churches on their side. So in the 19th century, before Israel was founded, the Rothschilds worked closely with several people in Christianity. They attracted a man called Cyrus Scofield. He was a convicted criminal lawyer, an expert in fraud and forgery. He was asked to create a new Bible, the Scofield Study Bible. This was the first Bible in all of history to contain hundreds of footnotes. In these footnotes, a new doctrine was introduced into the American Evangelical Church, which says that there was to come a new political military Israel, and that that would be the place where the Messiah would come to rule the world. And they said that that would be the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to Abraham, and that would also be the fulfillment of the promise that Christ would return to earth. This Bible was then spread all throughout America through the Moody Bible Institute, and it became the foundation for the current day evangelical theology. Nobody was aware that this Bible was directly funded by Satanists and that it served the agenda to get Christianity on their side for establishing a new Israel that would become the headquarters of their one world government. And again, I know that all this sounds outrageous to many people who have never heard this before, but you can research this. And I encourage you to do your due diligence. I've studied this for decades and I know what I'm talking about, but it's very difficult sometimes when you talk to people who are not informed, who have simply accepted a certain mindset, who have blindly believed that, and who repeat it to everybody else without ever doing their research. But all this is historical fact. The Scofield Study Bible was published by the Oxford University Press, which was owned by the Rothschilds. And this whole theology was first written out by John Darby, whose family owned the most haunted castle in the world, Leap Castle, where 150 dead bodies were found in the cellars and where satanic masses were held. John Darby used all kinds of occult terms in his religious writings. He was involved in many secret societies and occult groups. And he is the one who educated Cyrus Scofield, but John Darby was an employee of the Rothschilds. He worked for the East India Company. The Scofield Study Bible literally said that everyone who supported this new Israel would be blessed by God, and everyone who did not support it would be cursed by God. So fear and intimidation was used to force Christians to be on their side, and they succeeded. In our time, the vast majority of Christianity believes thoroughly that this new political military state of Israel is indeed a fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. But they haven't got the slightest clue what's really going on here. The whole violent invasion into the land of Palestine, where Muslims and Christians and Jews had been living peacefully together for thousands of years, is based on a misunderstanding of the promise that God made to Abraham in the Old Testament. God told Abraham that he would receive land, that a great people would come forth from him. But one of the experts of the Jewish religion, who later became the Apostle Paul, wrote to the Jews in his time, who were called the Hebrews, that Abraham essentially was not promised and was not looking for a stretch of desert. He was looking for a heavenly land built by the hand of God, something far more beautiful, far more profound, far more glorious. This was confirmed by Jesus Christ, who was the Messiah and who came to fulfill all the promises of God to Abraham and to his descendants. But he surprised everybody by saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said, "My kingdom is not visible with the human eye. My kingdom," he said, "doesn't work with weapons. It doesn't wage war." He said, "My kingdom is not on a geographical location on earth." He said, "My kingdom is a heavenly realm. And you can only see it through the Spirit of God. You can only enter it when you are born from above by the Spirit." And he said, "My kingdom is among you. It is inside of you." So God is not interested in a political military nation that wages war and kills people. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. He's the one who removes all hatred and violence between people and who makes people brothers. That's why in the New Testament it says, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is no more hostility or division. There is one new man, one new creation in Christ. Those who accept Christ, they are the ones who can enter into this kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with military warfare. It has nothing to do with hatred between one people group and another people group. That is, in fact, the exact opposite of this. But we've all been told something entirely different. We've been told by the Rothschilds through the C.I. Scofield Study Bible, which has spread all around the world and which was unquestioningly accepted by all of Christianity, that it is all about a political military nation, which is the opposite of what Christ said. He said, even to the Samaritan women at the well, for those who know what scriptures say, he said, the time is gone, the time is over, where people worship God in the city of Jerusalem. He said, now the true worshippers will worship God in spirit, because God is spirit, and that's the worship that he longs for. And then the Apostle Paul explained to the Galatians, he said, guys, understand this, you guys are not children from the earthly Jerusalem. You are not children from something worldly. You are children, you come forth from the heavenly Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem is your mother. It's a heavenly kingdom, Jesus Christ said. In the Old Covenant, there was a physical Israel, a physical Jerusalem, a stone temple. But in 70 AD, that was all destroyed. That was judged by the Almighty God. And then in the New Testament, it says that we are now the temple of the living God. He dwells in us. We are his dwelling place. And his spirit builds us as homes where God can dwell. And through us, he brings healing and deliverance to the world. So we have two completely opposite mindsets. In the time of Jesus, the Jews wanted a political and military kingdom. That's why the apostles joined Christ. That's why Jude, who betrayed Christ, followed him. He expected Christ to restore Israel in a military, political way. And when Jesus didn't do that, and when it was clear that he was going to be killed by the Jews, then Jude betrayed him. He thought, this guy is not going to restore a political, military Israel. He is in no way anything that I thought he would be. He's not going to be our world leader who will bring peace over all of humanity from Israel. So Jude betrayed him, and that caused Christ to be murdered. The apostles also left Christ. They were disillusioned. But when the Spirit of God came on Pentecost, all the Christians suddenly began to understand, starting with the apostles, what Christ had been explaining to them. This is not about a political military land. This is about a heavenly land. This is about the reign of the Most High God in your heart, where you are transformed on the inside, where heaven comes to dwell in your heart, and you become a completely different person, not through a religion, not through something political or social or military or whatever, but by becoming a child. Christ said, if you become like a little child, you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the promises that God had made to Abraham and his descendants were fulfilled in Christ. God never spoke about a stretch of desert that would be his ultimate fulfillment. He had something far more beautiful, far more glorious. He had a heavenly kingdom, a heavenly nation, people all around the world who love God. And here we come to an incredible misunderstanding concerning what it means to be a Jew or an Israelite or a descendant of Abraham. Who was Abraham? What is a real Jew? Listen carefully. Even if you're not a Christian, even if you're not religious in any way, this is extremely interesting and fascinating, and it explains the core of what's going on in Israel and the agenda for world domination. So this relates to all of us, no matter our background and beliefs. So please keep watching, because a lot more will be revealed. Abraham was somebody who was faithful to the creator of life. He did not join into the demon worship and the human sacrifice and all the sorcery and magic of his surroundings. He remained faithful to the creator of all life. That's why God revealed himself to Abraham and said, Abraham, you will be the father of all the people throughout all of history who will be just like you. They will walk in your footsteps in a way that they will also love me despite evil surroundings in their culture. They will be faithful to me despite perversion and wickedness in their nation. He said, a great people will come forth from you, and they will come from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And this will be called Israel. Israel means Prince of God, or in other words, royal child of the Creator of heaven and earth. So Israel was never meant to be a political nation. It was that for a short period to show that that doesn't work out, because the people of Israel who came after Abraham, they left the Creator. They turned back to darkness and they went back to worshiping demons and human sacrifice. You can read that all throughout the scriptures. And God kept sending his prophets to call them back to him, but they always rejected and even murdered them. So God showed a political nation is not my idea. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about physical seed. I'm talking about spiritual seed. I'm talking about people who are circumcised in their heart, who walk with me in the midst of darkness, who are faithful to me surrounded by wickedness, who walk in faith even though their eyes can't see and their mind can't understand. They keep trusting me. That is what it means to be the seed of Abraham. We are like him. We walk like him. We live like him. We walk in his footsteps. And that's why the prophet Isaiah and the apostle Paul clearly said that only a very small portion of ancient Israel was truly Israel. Only those who were truly faithful to God. The vast majority of ancient Israel turned their back to God and were just as wicked and satanic as the other nations who practiced human sacrifice and demon worship and all kinds of magic and sorcery. So Abraham is the father of faith. His seed is not genetic. His seed is spiritual. That's why Christ said the people who listen to the Creator, who listen to God, and who do what he says, they are the children of God. They are my brothers and sisters. And that's why the Apostle John said it's impossible to become a child of God by ways of genetics or lineage or by the will of a man. You become a child of God by accepting Christ whom he sent, by believing what God says.